Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this June 2nd, and glad that you are with us. Tonight, we start Vacation Bible School here at the church. The church is going to be all decorated up like an underwater sea adventure, and we're going to be telling about diving into the deep truths of God's Word and about Jesus. And the kids are going to have lots of fun. It's going to be from preschool age all the way up through elementary. My kids, I remember when they were that age, boy, that was always a fun week. Carrie was often usually helping out with that. So they got the behind the scenes looks as well. But so much work goes into it. You know, we have over 50 people who help pull off VBS, and we have about 80 to 100 kids that come out to VBS. And so it's a great week. Pray for it, please. If you have some kids you want to bring tonight or any time this week, even if it's only for a day or two, bring them on out. It's a really good time. It's 6 to 8 p.m. from tonight, Sunday, all the way through Thursday night. And we end on Thursday night with a great celebration, too. And even a snow cone truck comes here and gives out treats for the kids at the very end. So it's always a good time. Other things I just wanted to mention, again, if you want to be baptized, this is your last week to let me know. This summer, please tell me. And then we're going to have a zoo day at the Lincoln Zoo. It's going to be 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, June 22nd. And so that's coming up here in 3 weeks. If you want to go to that, maybe it's June 21st then. It's the Saturday of that weekend. Meet us there. You get a free train ticket to go around for you and everybody in your family if you want to come on out to that. And we'll have a meeting location. If you have any more questions or information that you want about that, let me know. But it's going to be that Saturday, June 22nd, I think it is, at the Lincoln Zoo. All right. Before I get into the sermon for today, there's this great hymn from 1871, and it really fits our scripture for today. And so I hope it's okay. I want to sing the first verse for you. And I would, if you know it, please sing along with me, because I'm not a singer. This is just a way to kind of intro into this message today from James. But the first verse I want to sing is of the song Wonderful Words of Life. And so it's very simple. If you don't know it, it's easy to pick up on. But it goes like this. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. All right, if you got your Bibles, turn to James chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 1 to 12, and we're going to talk today about our words and the importance of our words and God's word and that. It says this, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take, for an example, ships. Although they're so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by only a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and in itself is on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings made in His image. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This scripture is all about our words. The power of our words for good or for evil. Our words have the power to give life or to take it, to build someone up or to tear someone down, to express love or hate, to give kindness and teach important things that can save someone, to deliver incredible speeches that inspire nations and lead them to greatness, to speak words to a friend that can encourage them when they're down to just keep going. Or on the flip side, our words can deceive people. They can lead people astray, cause great pain, start wars, destroy nations, or even our own family. Our words really do matter. I read this one quote which said, something you say in just 10 seconds can impact somebody for 10 years or a lifetime. Think before you speak, because words matter. With words, God spoke, and this world was brought into being. Think about that. With words, He gave eternal promises to Noah and Abraham and Moses, His covenant. With the Word of God, we are led, you know, like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. His Word guides us and teaches us about who He is and who we are. With words, Jesus spoke to the crowds around Galilee, a good news that gave them hope and told them about forgiveness and salvation. With words, He spoke and people were healed and the storm at sea was calmed. Words have the power to bring life or death. So many times we are careless with the things that come out of our mouths. In anger, we speak what we can't take back. In giving advice, sometimes we often speak about things we don't know. With others, we can speak gossip that hurts people or shapes the way another looks at somebody else. But in our good moments, when the Lord's at work in our heart, we can speak words that welcome people in, that can heal a person in great pain, or shape the future of a child, or lead a friend to Christ, or praise and worship God with our songs. The Bible even says we have the power to overcome the enemy by our testimony. So our words, if they're His, bring great life and have the power to save. We're on to chapter 3 here in the book of James. And James is all about, as we know, putting our faith into practice, to have a living faith. We've talked about trials and temptations. We've talked about giving to the poor and not showing favoritism. We've talked about having a faith like Rahab and Abraham that isn't just in our head, but in action. Now in chapter 3, James brings up the tongue. And he says in verse 7 that all kinds of animals have been tamed by man, but no man can seem to tame his own tongue. He says it's a restless evil full of deadly poison, and it certainly can be, can't it? But like everything else in our life, we are to give that part of us to Jesus as well. We want our faith in Christ to change our heart and change our mouth, change our speech, that the words we say would be more like Him and help others rather than hurt others. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the problem isn't just here, it's here. Just like with sickness, we can deal with the symptoms or the actual root of the problem. And the root of the words that we say are often found in fear, or anger, or rage, or bitterness or pride or ignorance of the heart. They can either come from the Holy Spirit or from the flesh. And I know it so well, maybe more than others, for I'm a preacher for a living. I talk for a living. But I'm also a sinner saved by grace. So I know when people come up to me on a Sunday and say that sermon really spoke to them, I know it was God speaking through them, through me, with through those words that he gave me to say. I said them, but they're his words. They're the ones that can touch a heart, not my words. But I also know in the same way that I am the guy who then can go home even after a great sermon and in anger or stress carelessly say words to my wife that I don't mean, but they come out in my flesh, in my emotion, in my anxiety or frustrations, and those words can cause great pain to her, whom I love so much. I can just be the guy, the husband, the father, the man who allows the devil to get a hold of his heart for even just a second and lash out with words that are not of God too. James says here that our words can be either fresh water from the Spirit or salt water from the flesh. Praising or cursing, truth-telling or lying, encouraging or tearing down. But it should not be, he says. But we know it is, because none of us is perfect. And it's not just pastors, but think of the responsibility of teachers at a school with those young minds, or leaders of a country, or parents at home. The things we say when little ears are listening and hearts are taking it in. My kids have brought up things that I said when they were younger, 8, 10, or 12 years old, and they still remember them. Some good things, but also some not so good. You know, and then I say, did I really say that to you? And sure enough, I did. Probably in a careless moment of losing my temper or distraction or foolishness. But they took it in and remember. And we either laugh about it now, or I say, I'm terribly sorry. Forgive me for those bad words spoken in my flesh. Lord, forgive us for all the careless words and bad advice and angry curses or judgments and gossip, whatever we have spoken. For none of us is perfect. We all could be better at controlling our tongues. James is saying, be careful, little tongue, what you say. You're a small part of the body, but you have the power for good or evil. And James gives three examples here of the power of the tongue. James mentions first the bit and the rudder, referring to the power of the tongue to steer and lead. With our voices, we steer whole ships and whole countries. We can speak words that heal and guide people down a good and righteous path or a path of destruction. So James uses two examples of very small things that actually control much larger things. The first example he gives is a bit, which is the small piece placed in the mouth of a horse. Interesting that it is placed in the mouth of the horse. When I read this, the bit goes in the mouth of the horse, and it's attached to the reins, which allows the rider to control the head of the animal. And this, along with the other signals the rider gives, is the ability to turn that whole animal. A small bit can turn a powerful horse. But this example, I think, is such a good one, not only because of the small leading the larger, but for me, it goes much deeper even, to how we're to allow Jesus to lead and to guide our life. I mean, if we think of ourselves as a horse, are we broken? Are we tamed? Have we surrendered to his bit in a way in our mouth so that he can lead us, that he can reign over us and hold the controls of our life? Do we want him to guide our life? Is it the Lord, our Savior, gently, you know, sometimes forcibly wanting to turn our head and say, stop looking over there, look over here. I want you to go in this direction, not that direction, right? And so he steers us, and we want to follow him. We want to do a life that pleases him. He's our Lord and our God. And we want him to even have control over our mouth. Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you not want me to say? We want his words, not our words, to shape and direct our family and our church. So for me, this bit of a horse, he has a couple great images for the Christian life. Likewise, he says a rudder, another small part of a giant ship. but it's the rudder that actually controls the direction of the ship. And the captain operates it, turns it on, reverses power, controls the speed of that rudder as he wants to steer that giant ship through what James says are strong winds that want to drive that ship in a different direction. But the ship captain knows where it needs to go. And it isn't going to be letting the boat just drift aimlessly by the waves and the wind. So by the rudder, he steers that giant ship to its destination. And this really is speaking of the power of teaching. Too many kids today are not taught about God or His Word or right and wrong, and they're left aimlessly at the wind and the waves of this world. And its teaching, we can steer them far off course. And they become lost at sea. God has given us parents an important job to teach our kids about Him and His commands and salvation and to guide them in truth. James uses the rudder as an example of a small part that can actually steer the whole ship and the course of one's life. Words matter. For our children, for our congregation, for others, by the words we speak over them, by teaching them the truth of God's word, by praying over them, by the words of rebuke or correction or encouragement, we're like a ship at the control of a rudder, hopefully, prayerfully, humbly leading our families through the waves and the storms of life that want to drift them over here. But with God's help, may our words be His word, which have the power to teach and lead and guide them safely to the course that He has set for them. Words play a big role. I think of the scripture in Deuteronomy 6 where it says, "These commands the Lord your God has given me to direct to you, I want for you to teach to your children that they may fear the Lord for as long as you live. Be careful to obey them. These commands, so that it will go well with you. These commands I give you today are be on your hearts, and you're to pass them along, teach and impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk on the road, and when you lie down and get up." We're to speak them. Speak the name of Jesus. Read and share and teach about God's word and salvation to your children and your families. James says here our words can control the animal, steer the ship, in a positive or a negative direction. He says in verse 6, your words can set the course of a whole one's life. So be careful. We've seen this truth even in our own country. The words of a leader matter. The words of a culture that they choose to use to define people or identity or divide people or to lead them to God or away from God or bring us together or further apart or rally us for good or rally us for harm. There are a lot of people on social media who have millions of followers. They have lots of the ears of people. God is going to judge how they use that power. If they like a certain brand, it sells. If they tear down the faith or put out an opinion or even speak in God's name, but things that are not of God, if they speak like a false prophet and influence the way that we read or interpret the word, causing others to believe truth or a lie, God's going to look upon that. How a news story today is reported, from what angle or slander or gossip that spreads about a person, even just little deceptions that we all sometimes pass on that lead other people to false judgments or convictions. James is saying, think about it before you speak. Your words steer the ship. What will you say? How will you choose to use this incredible freedom and gift of the tongue? There is power in your words. You might think, well, I'm not a speaker. I don't have influence. I don't want to be. But you are a witness. And you probably say way more than you think at work or with your friends or with your nieces or cousins who are listening or the stranger is listening as you lash out at a clerk at a store. I think of Jeremiah, who was young and God called him to be a prophet. And he said, "I can't speak. I'm just a boy." And God said, "Don't you say you can't speak. You will speak, and you will speak whatever I give you to say." And then God touched his mouth and put his word inside of Jeremiah. And the boy became God's mouthpiece. I think of Moses and how he too said to the Lord, "I'm not a good speaker. The people aren't going to listen to me." And God said to Moses, "Who gave you your mouth? I did. And so I'm going to help it speak, and I'm going to teach you what to say." And God did. If we surrender our mouth to the Lord, we will see it becomes a great instrument for good or evil. He will help us speak powerful words that could mentor, teach, or lead others. One thing that I often ask a family of a person who has just died is, what words of wisdoms or sayings do you remember from your mom or dad or friend that are going to stay with you now that they're gone? And it's always interesting the things that they share. People are often known for a certain saying or a motto, you know, or maybe even just that one time when they spoke words that helped you see yourself for who you were and all you could be. So the first example that James gives of the tongue is its power to lead. The second illustration, though, of the tongue that James uses here is the power to destroy. He uses the words fire and poison here to say sometimes our tongue can be like that. He says in verse 5, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. I was born in Chicago and then moved to Colorado, but then went back to Chicago for 8 years for college and seminary. And so having lived there a long time, I've often heard the story of the Great Chicago Fire. It was back in 1871, and it started from a cow kicking over a lantern in O'Reilly's barn. And that was it. By the end of that small spark and fire that spread, over 100,000 people were left homeless. 17,000 buildings were burned down. 300 people died, and over $400 million of damage from one lantern kicked to the ground. A whole city and tens of thousands of families affected. James is saying it begins with one careless word that turns into a fire. I've gone through the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem 7 times. I'm struck every time at how Adolf Hitler and others got his people to kill 6 million Jews, to not even see them as human, to do horrific things like a terrorist. The museum is laid out like a timeline, and it starts before World War II. You see the power of speeches and books written about Jews being the enemy, and words beginning to shape society, and even comic strips. And in Germany, Jews were given names, and articles were written about them. And then Hitler and others began causing people to see them as less than human, and even evil, and someone to fear. And words upon words like sparks soon set a fire of hate that ended in concentration camps and so many dead. People from their own country, men and women, old and young, kids and neighbors and local shop owners that they had known since they were kids, now suddenly they hated and saw as different. Words sparked by hate, slander, malice, anger, fear, judgment, and the next thing you know, a great fire is burning. And you see, often we overlook this when it happens because it's just a comment in a moment, or it's just a phrase. What's the harm in that? Or we watch a movie, or we listen to a speech, or we let Uncle Joe be Uncle Joe, and little compromises and little lies begin to sink in. James is just saying it all starts with a careless spark. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Only what is helpful for building others up. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other as Christ has forgiven you. James says our words can be a fire. They can also be a deadly poison. The careless comment of a parent, you are useless, or you are stupid. Why can't you be more like? Or the words of a friend, you are fat. Or a social media response, just kill yourself, no one likes you anyway. Just evil poison. Whether it was meant to be a joke or said in anger, frustration, or ignorance doesn't matter. It is spoken and it carries deadly poison to the heart of a child or a person who may already be struggling. We must teach our kids to be careful what they say and to love and respect one another because God is listening. I showed my kids my high school yearbook a while back, and I hadn't looked at it since a long time ago. But back then, we would get all our classmates to sign it, and they often wrote a little thing in, and I never really thought about it. But my kids were reading some of the comments written about their dad to their dad, and they said, Dad, there are some really mean things in this to you. And some were picking on certain things and making fun of other things. And Possibly they were just kidding. I don't know what was in their mind as they wrote those things. But others I know not so much. And I was picked on. It's not a big deal to me now. I've grown, but I remember high school. Kids can be cruel. And I was put down a lot in different ways. Maybe everyone is. But you can begin to believe about yourself what others say, and their words can shape your outlook on what you can do or who you are. And so we must be careful. I'm thankful I had wonderful parents and was part of a great church, and I read the Bible and could see myself as God saw me. Thankfully, His word was greater than all of their words. But James is saying our words can be a fire or a deadly poison, so be careful. And then finally, James uses one last illustration about our tongue, and it's a positive one, and how it has the power to bring life and delight to God and other people. And that's what we want and hope for. Psalm 19:14 says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." We want what we say to be pleasing to God, that He would delight in it. Jesus said, "The words I speak to you are spirit and their life." And with Jesus in our heart, guiding our words can become His way of speaking to other people through us. And they can be a fountain of living water, James says, to a dry and weary soul listening, bearing good fruit in their life. With our tongue, we can praise the Lord. We can preach the word. We can lead people to salvation. We can build them up, or we can tear them down. With our tongue, we can do so much good. We can say, "I love you." We can comfort someone who is down. We can teach someone profound things of the mysteries of God revealed in His word. We can share those things. We can speak up for justice and mercy to the oppressed and hope for the despairing. Wonderful words that bring life. You got two main bodies of water in Israel. The Dead Sea in the south is 30% salt content, and there's no life in it. It's just desert. And you got the Sea of Galilee up north, full of fish for food and a river of life going in and going out. Fruit trees all around, little villages finding their homes and raising their families nearby, and because of the life the water gives. It's not hard to see what James is talking about here in his illustration. He's saying by the sea, you can be a fountain of living water or a salt sea. He's saying, be the Sea of Galilee, not the Dead Sea. Speak life to people. I want to share one example of a simple thing that impacted my friend Don Kaufman. He shared it in our men's group a while back. Don used to play basketball at Waverly High School. He and Dave Sundin, I heard, were big stars that brought a state championship back in 1956. Don said his dad wasn't at his games, so he never really had that cheering section of his father. But he still remembers all those years ago when he made a good play. He heard from the stands Mr. McGill calling out his name and saying, "Great job." In the absence of words, God gave him the simple encouragement of another man who would cheer for him. We don't realize how much we can do with our words to speak life, encourage, show love, cheer on, teach, pray. We get to partner with God who lives in our heart. We get to be His voice that brings life to other people. Our voices can be so powerful if we give them to the Lord. Warren Wiersbe said, "Make sure you use these 12 words. Please, thank you, I'm sorry, I love you, I'm praying for you." Words matter. They can be a fire and poison, or they can be a fountain of life. They can steer the whole course of the ship, lead the course of a life. With our tongue, we have the power to praise our Father in heaven or curse someone He loves. We're not going to be perfect at it. But let's pray that Jesus be heard more in the things that we say, because this is a ministry we all have. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my Lord, my Rock, my Redeemer. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.